So like I said, this is not a prepared speech. This is, I don't have any slides. Sorry. Come next week, you'll hear the sermon. And frankly, I'm a little relieved because that gives me a little more time this week to do other things that I need to do because the sermon's already ready. But I want to answer this question. What do we do with the situation that we find ourselves in? See, a lot of times we think that, you know, bad things shouldn't happen to good people. And I agree, bad things should not happen to good people. But as I look at the evidence, the overwhelming evidence says bad things do happen to good people. And so the next question that you're probably asking is, well, why? Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't have that answer. And I'm sorry to disappoint you. I can't say this is exactly why this happens. And that's a moment where I have to suspend my judgment. I have to suspend everything and step back and let God be God. This is one of those moments. But we operate under assumptions all the time. And it's the assumptions that I want to challenge today so that our faith might become stronger. And I think one of the first assumptions I want to challenge is we think that as Christians, we should be immune to suffering. Have you read this book? Wow. Yeah, I will tell you up front, when we assume that because we're Christians, we should be exempt from suffering, we make a wrong assumption. Nowhere in this book, nowhere in the experience of the early church or any Christian anywhere are we exempt from suffering. That is a fact. Can I explain why? Not entirely. No. It's easy to say things like we live in a fallen and broken world and so bad things will happen. But is that enough in these moments? Does that satisfy you to say, yeah, we live in a broken world so bad things will happen? It probably shouldn't satisfy you. It means that we should look for more, that we should realize that this broken, fallen world is not our home. This broken, fallen world needs good news. This world that is swirling around us and has nothing solid to stand on needs a rock that they can stand on. I'm convinced that we have that. I'm convinced that we have the rock that will never let us down. We can't assume that we won't suffer, and the Bible tells us so. I did mark a few verses that popped into my head this morning, and I want to share with you. This is Jesus himself. By the way, if you want to ask if you can be a Christian and not suffer, look at the life of Jesus, the original Christian. I mean, that was his name, right? It doesn't get any more original than that, and yet he suffered tremendously. To what end? Hold that thought. Jesus himself is telling the disciples as he's preparing to leave this earth, he says, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus doesn't say you might have trouble, you might have difficulty. He says you will have trouble. And he's talking to his disciples. The Christians of the Christians, the very first, the ones who spent 3 years in training with him, the ones who were going to spread the good news. You will have trouble. Who am I to expect that I wouldn't have trouble then? Just Bill in Fulcher, Texas, doing my thing. I'm not exempt. We're not exempt. The question is not can we be exempt. The question is what do we do when these bad things happen? So the first assumption that we have to set aside is we are not immune to bad things happening. We're not immune to bad people acting on us. That's the result of free will, and that's a whole sermon series. Maybe sometime we'll get into that. And sometimes it's nobody's choice. Nobody chose to go out there and be in a floodplain and assume that there's going to be a wall of water. Nobody could predict that 3 to 6 inches of rain as a forecast would result in 26 feet of wall of water in 45 minutes. That's unheard of. That's unprecedented. How do you prepare for something like that? And so while they're quick to point blame at, well, this rescue and that thing and that wasn't prepared, who's prepared for that? No one. The question isn't, how, you know, well, there's lessons to learn. Sure, we can prepare better next time maybe, but some things are just beyond control. And some things will find you at the worst possible time. And some things will result in suffering. Fact. And we can't ignore that. The question is then, What do we do with that? I'm reminded of another Bible verse. Ironically, I heard a brigadier general in the United States Air Force quote to us. Many of you have heard the story of the squadron I was in when we lost an individual who was very dear to us. What a time to be together, right? The one thing that you love to do resulted in the death of one of your closest friends. And now you're asking, well, why did it happen to him? He was like the best of the best. And what do we do with that? Flying isn't the same anymore. Won't be the same without him. The Brigadier General, you know, there's a time where the squadron is grounded because they have to figure out what happened. They're not going to send you right back up until they've checked out every plane for mechanical difficulties. They're going to try to define what the cause was. If it was pilot error, then to determine what training we need in place so that it doesn't happen again. So that takes, it depends on the accident. That took about a week. And so we had a bunch of guys and gals sitting around the squadron looking at each other who love to fly, who aren't designed to sit around and look at each other or talk about emotions or talk about really anything except flying, right? So how awkward is that? But yet every one of us inside had this thing that we were hiding because we didn't really want to talk about it. It's like, how could this happen? Could this happen to me? What would my family do? Now, all these questions start to pop up. And they're going to interfere with the mission when that mission comes back, because the mission isn't going away. That's what Uncle Sam's paying us to do, is to go fly, fight, and win. So what do we do with that? Didn't really have an answer. It was a pretty miserable week. The general came to kind of give us a pep talk and speech. And believe it or not, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, there's a scripture that says, I'm not making this up, there's a scripture that says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. You could have heard a pin drop. I thought he was going to say, like, suck it up. Get back out there, guys. Come on, be your man. That's not what he said. He said, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And he said, today is a day for wisdom. So what was the wisdom that he shared? He said, this is a day to commit to principles, to ideals, because that's what holds you up when things get shaky. This is a day where you say things that need to be said. This is a day where you go home and you hug your loved ones, maybe a little tighter. This is a day when we realize that as invincible as we think we are, we're not. Our days are numbered. The question isn't how many days you have, because you don't know that. The question is not how long you will live. You don't know that. The question is how well you will live today. I don't really remember the whole rest of the speech because I was blown away that he would say that. It really got me thinking. It's like, wow, how do I live well now? How do I put aside all that stuff and live well now? And that reminded me then of another verse. Again, going back to Jesus, because that's always a good place to go. And this is my plea to us, because it's not that we're going to get an answer today. Oh, this is why this happened. My hope today is that we analyze what's important, that maybe this is a day for wisdom for us, and maybe this is a day that we grow in our faith as we're challenged. That faith, ironically, grows in times of great challenge. So don't shy away from this. Don't turn your head and pretend that it didn't happen, because it did. Don't fear the questions that might come. Hey, you're a Christian. How could this happen? Soak in them. Do you remember last week we talked about the marinade or the microwave? This is a marinade moment. Don't push by this. Don't push this down. Don't ignore this. Let this shape us. Marinate in it. But don't marinate by yourself. Marinate with the Holy Spirit, because that's where the illumination, that's where the wisdom is going to come from. Wisdom isn't going to come from this world. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. So my other prayer for Union Chapel and everybody is that we would have ears to hear that, and we would open ourselves to whatever it is that he has to say. And he will speak. These are the words of Jesus as he's talking about the way of being a Christian, right? So here's the interesting thing about faith. We all love to come and talk about it sometimes. We love to the idea of being a Christian, but do we always love the work of a Christian? That'll make you think. It's not that we get paid a lot, but the retirement benefits are outstanding, by the way. But here's the thing. A lot of people will put that off, and that's the mentality, right? It's like, well, yeah, I'll believe in Jesus because I want to spend eternity in heaven, but what about this? This is just too much. And here's the irony. Some people will take an instance like this and ask that question, how could God let this happen, and be so overwhelmed by that that they just cast it all aside. So you know what? I'm not going to believe in God anymore. I'm not going to follow Christ if this is what it means. Well, look back at again, church history. Look at Jesus himself. Look at the disciples. You will have suffering. Don't cast off Christ because you're suffering. He told us it would happen, and it's happening. It shouldn't be a surprise. It'll be a shock. Absolutely. It's always a shock, but it shouldn't be a surprise. It's here. It's happening. Jesus told us it would be that way. So don't cast off. Here's the irony. Don't cast off the one thing that will ensure that eternity. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. And it's not just an eternal benefit, it's a benefit now. Earlier I said that we have a rock on which we can stand. And that rock is the promise that Christ made. And so what do we do with this? Here's my encouragement to us right from the mouth of Jesus. He's using another parable. But just listen to these words. You'll recognize this parable. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. See, what the difference is we're really talking about three kinds of people in this parable. There's the people who don't hear the words of Christ at all. I don't envy them. I don't know how they get through things. What hope could you possibly have if you haven't heard these words? I can't imagine. Then there's a second one. Notice in Jesus' parable, everybody hears the word. Both the foolish man and the wise man heard the word, but only one of them actually put it into practice. See, we love to hear. We love the idea of being Christian. We don't like the work of being Christian. We have to take the words that we hear here deeper than just head knowledge. Deeper than just listening with our ears. That word has to penetrate to our hearts so that what we do is out of the love of Christ. That word has to penetrate to our hands so that as we work as Christ would work. We don't shy away from things like flood cleanup or whatever's about to happen next. That word has to penetrate all the way down to our feet so that we don't just leave it here. Yeah, we come here, we talk about Jesus. It's a safe place to talk about Jesus, but you don't want to say that out there. People will think you're weird. Let them think you're weird. That's what we do. We take this and we take it with us. We take this good news with us. And we share it with everyone. So that when bad things happen, we all have a rock that we can stand on. How selfish is it of me to find a rock that gives me strength, that gives me faith, that gives me hope, and keep it to myself? Why would I do that? Because I think too small. God loved Bill so much that he gave his only begotten son. I just rewrote scripture. As I hear it in truth, God loved the world, so he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message that our feet will carry. That's the message that as our hands work, people will see, if we do it with the heart of Christ and not because it's something that we should do. This needs to be a lifestyle, not a guidebook. This needs to be the first stop, not the last resort. This needs to be all of who we are. At least that's the way I see it. So my question to you this morning then is your house built on a rock or is it built on sand? The house that's built on the rock is the one that hears the words of Christ and puts them into practice. So what do we do with this? What's the application step, Bill? Give me something to do, because we all want something to do. Here's what I would say. In times of crisis, especially, people aren't ready to hear a lot of theological argument. They aren't here to hear a bunch of scripture thrown at them. You know what you can do best first? Be present. Be a non-anxious, Christ-filled presence. Be that person that's not going to go away, yet has hope. Can we mourn? Yeah, absolutely, we can mourn. We can have tears. We can bawl and cry. But we don't mourn as those without hope, because we know that Jesus has the final say. So be present. After that, then, you can start to build relationship. You've heard me say this before. Build the bridge of relationship that will bear the weight of truth. We have an answer, but people may not be ready for that in times of tragedy. So what we do is we be present. We let them experience from a distance, from a physical and spiritual sense, what that feels like. And then we begin to reach out and build a relationship. Sometimes that relationship building is not glamorous. Sometimes when you're building that bridge, a lot of that work is underwater in the muck, and you're putting down pillars and foundations that you're going to build a bigger structure on. It's not glamorous. It's not exciting. It doesn't pay well. It's ugly, hard work. And nobody notices. Nobody sees that. But yet that is the pillar that later will build that bridge. And that bridge will later bear truth. And that truth will set us free. That truth transforms. So let me give you this thought and observation. The things that are most important, the things that we get wisdom from, and the Holy Spirit will tell us is being wise, is to focus on one thing and one thing alone. I guarantee you, in those final moments, nobody is thinking about, what's my vacation going to be like? Wow, what's my paycheck? How's my bank account? Nobody's thinking, did I win the state championship or the chess tournament? Or the extracurricular activity, the tournament, whatever. Nobody's thinking that. What are they thinking? The one word that comes out of every person's mouth that's heard about Jesus. Jesus. That's what they're thinking about. Because in those final moments, our soul recognizes that that's the only thing that matters. Now, hear me carefully, Union Chapel. I'm not saying we must do all things Jesus and abandon everything else. That's not what I'm saying. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're called to engage with people. We're called to do all these kinds of things. My question, my challenge, is not what it is that we're doing. My only challenge is this. What's your priority in the things that you're doing? Because we should seek first what? The kingdom of God. All those other things will be taken care of. But sometimes we allow the world to shape us, and we seek other things, and we forget the priority. So if there's wisdom to be gained today, it will be through prayer. If there's wisdom to be gained today, it will be through a marinating process with the Holy Spirit, letting Him speak to you. That's what I want to encourage you to do. We're going to do communion here in a second, and I want this to be a time of deep prayer for you. I want this to be a time of listening for the Holy Spirit. I want this time to be a time where you question what it is that's truly important in life. Not to abandon everything that you're doing, but maybe just to reprioritize the things that we're doing. Because in all those other things is where we carry the hope of this good news. And if we've got the first one right, it will flow to the rest. Build a bridge of relationship that will bear the weight of truth. That starts here. It goes here. Because today is a day for wisdom. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his teachings, for his life, for his example, for his words. We thank you that in Scripture we can find hope, comfort, a rock upon which we can stand. God, in this time of tragedy, we reach out and we pray your presence with the families, with those affected. We pray that the peace that passes understanding would dwell on them. We pray for the workers, for the responders, for the rescuers, for everyone involved, that you would keep them safe, that you would help them to do their job as best they can. And God, we pray for any lessons learned, that they would carry forward and change the way that we live. But most of all, God, today we pray that this is a day of wisdom, wisdom to be built, wisdom to be gained, not because we're clever, not because we're intelligent, but because we're willing to pause and listen to the Holy Spirit. So pour out on us in abundance your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, hearts to love, hands to serve, and feet to carry this good news to the world, the feet that stand on the solid rock. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.